Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, thanks to the band. See if I can not trip on these chords. Thanks to the band for singing about Christ as our cornerstone, Christ as the center of our life. We're going to talk about that today a little bit. But before that, I want to tell you a story, or a little bit of a story. When I was a kid, they had all these dog food commercials. It doesn't seem like they do. Maybe they do. Yeah, I guess they do dog food commercials still. But the one I remember was, see if you can remember this, and I'm going to try to sing this, all right, this little jingle. So I'm giving you fair warning. Okay, it didn't go so well at the early service, so. My dog's better than your dog. My dog's better than yours. My dog's better because he gets kennel ration. My dog's better than yours. Now you see why Dave doesn't let me in the band. My dog's better than yours. It kind of sounds like what was going on in our epistle reading today from the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. Now we're going to talk about Corinthians because we got a lot of epistle readings coming up on the book of 1 Corinthians. So you got to know what's going on in Corinth. Well, in the first century, Corinth was a city in Greece that had been taken over by Rome. And it's like in the middle of two bits of land. I guess you could say it's kind of like between Buffalo and Niagara, and Niagara Falls and Lewiston on one side, and St. Catharines and Niagara Falls and Ontario on the other side. Except it was narrower. There's this little spit of land that was like an isthmus between northern Greece and southern Greece. And all the ships would come in the little through the sea there, and they would go across this little spit of land so they didn't have to sail all the way around where all the pirates were. And a little reference to Pirates of Penzance. and then they would go across the spit of land, and then they would get back on the water and sail up to Athens. Okay? So Corinth was this big port city. It was about 650,000 people. So 250,000 people were like free people, not slaves, and the rest were all slaves. So 250,000 people, about the population of the city of Buffalo itself. Big city in those days, okay? Big port city. And in this city, there was a big temple to the goddess Aphrodite, the Greek goddess of love, where they had a lot of prostitution in the temple. And it was a town filled with a lot of sailors, commercial port, even more prostitution. And, you know, we think of today as like Las Vegas, the Sin City, right? Well, this was like the Sin City of the first century in a lot of ways. Paul comes there and brings the gospel of Jesus Christ to them, and we get this community of believers there. And this is a young, like baby Christians, young community of Christians. Paul leaves, but they have questions. Some of us say this, some of us say that. Paul, what's the real story? That's the reason for his letter to the Corinthians. He's answering a lot of their questions. And that's why when you read later on, when you get to chapter 7, 8, 9, it's like, well, we're going to talk about this. Well, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about this. That's the purpose of the letter to the Corinthians. Okay, that's background. My dog's bigger than yours. It kind of sounds like what the Corinthians were going through at the time. It sounds like, let's read it. sounds like what Paul is saying here. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people. Apparently Chloe was like a business owner, and her employees let Paul know what was going on. They came to Paul and reported. Maybe they are the ones who delivered the letter asking for help from Corinth. It's been reported to me by Chloe's people that there's quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, Peter, or I follow Christ. My dog's bigger than your dog. My dog's better than your dog. What that really implies on the playground is I'm better than yours. I'm better than you. It's pride. My bike is shinier than yours. My dad is taller than yours. My mom is prettier than yours. Whatever it is, I compare myself against you, and I come out the winner. Pride. It's also prideful when we say, well, we follow this person. Paul says, I don't want to be associated with that. That's why he says this. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? When you say, I follow Paul. Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God I baptized none of you. Except Crispus and Gaius. So that no one may say that you were baptized in my name. Oh, and then this, I love this part, because it's like he's dictating the letter, and then the scribe says, oh, I think you baptized somebody else too. And so he says, I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. Okay. Is Paul saying something against baptism here? Of course not. He's saying, I don't want my name associated with the divisions that you guys are calling upon yourselves. I don't want somebody saying, I follow Paul, as if that makes him better than you. Or I was baptized by Paul, or I was baptized by Pastor Streufert, or Pastor Enko, or Pastor Nickel. Like it makes a difference. You were baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Not the name of Paul. Not the name of a pastor. I mean, it's a nice thing, maybe, if you have a relationship with him. But the point is, you're called into God's name by the power of the Holy Spirit. You're called to faith in Jesus Christ. Not in Paul, not in Apollos, not in Pastor Nickel, not in anybody's name. Except Christ's name. So all this stuff that divides us, I don't want to be associated with that. Well, do we have divisions today in our country? We have one group in Washington celebrating and another group in Washington protesting. And then after that, there'll be another group in Washington protesting. We live among divisions. Do we have divisions in our life? In your own life, do you have divisions? Do you see divisions in your family? At work? At school? School, we call them cliques. I don't know what you call them in your family. My side or your side. Divisions. Factions. My idea is better than yours. My dog's better than yours. By the way, it means I'm better than you are. I want my way. because it's better than your way. Look at our level of political discourse. Look at the way that we talk to each other. We don't talk to each other anymore. We just call each other names. Liberal or conservative. Republican or Democrat. Gay or homophobe. Racist or one of us. What names do you use at home for each other? The ones that we profess to love. You see, when we put a name, a label on something or on somebody, then all of a sudden we don't need to listen to them anymore. Because we've heard all that they have had to say. Once we put them in that box with that label on them, discussion ends. We can ignore them. And when you meet somebody, you find out that they fit in a nice little box that you've constructed, then you say, I don't need to listen to them anymore. That's how divisions start. That's how they grow. And then we start making even worse names for each other. Names that are even intentionally antagonistic, so that I can make that person mad just by using a label. Division. Faction. That's the way it was for the Corinthians. That's the way it is for us today. And then we see it in the church. Paul was writing to the church in Corinth. What about our church today? Are there divisions among us here? Are there divisions in Holy Cross? Well, there were divisions in the church 500 years ago. We talk about Christian unity. Well, we're trying to be united, but we're not very good at it. 500 years ago, Martin Luther nails his 95 theses on the castle church door, saying there's abuses in the church. There's things that are wrong. And guess what? The church started calling the people who followed Luther, Lutherans. That's you guys. Me too. Lutherans. That was an epithet. People who followed Luther. And Luther himself said, the first thing I ask is that nobody use my name. For who or what is Luther? Sounds like Paul. Don't use my name if you're talking about divisions. Don't use my name if you're talking about anything, get this, that distracts from the Word of God. And especially anything that distracts from Jesus Christ. Because what Paul says here, and what I think Martin Luther was driving at, and what the Christian church today is striving for, however imperfectly, is to focus on Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. Because we're all guilty of that pride. We're all guilty of saying, my dog's better than your dog. We're all guilty of putting a name or a label on somebody so we don't have to listen to them. Now, there are real differences in the church today. There's differences in practices. There's differences in doctrine. And those things matter. And those things cannot be papered over by just saying, unity, 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 as if unity is the end. No, unity in Christ is the end and the goal and the substance not because of my dog or your dog, but because of Christ. Because of the forgiveness of sins that comes to us through our Lord. Because of the cross. The word of the cross is a word of humility. Jesus didn't come to this earth to say, "My dog is bigger than your dog." He came to say, "I'm here with you. And all those times that you've put a label on somebody, and all those times that you've not listened honestly and forthrightly and talked to one another, all those times you're guilty of that, I take that upon myself. And all those names that someone has cast upon you, or that you've cast upon someone else, I take all those names upon myself. That's what I take to the cross for you. To reconcile you to the Father. That is how Christ's humility trumps our pride. That's what the word of the cross is. The forgiveness of sins won through the blood of Christ. Talk about humility. That is the word of the cross. That is your salvation. So our challenge this week, or in your life, is to step back from some of those divisions in your life. Just for a second. When you label someone, just take a second and say, "Have I put a label on someone so I don't have to listen to them? What are they saying? And why? Is it because they don't know Jesus and what He's done for them? Is it because they're hurting from something that they've done or something that's been done to them by this sinful world? By this world that says, my dog's bigger than your dog, my dog's better than yours? How can I bring Christ to them to help them for that? How does Christ come into my life when I'm fighting with someone? When I don't see eye to eye with someone? Can I be just a little bit more humble? Does my dog have to win every time? Do you see how life in Christ changes the way you act? Do you see the way the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ gives you a chance to step back for a second at least and say, maybe I can engage with this person. Maybe I don't have to call them names, except this name. The name Paul calls you. The name Jesus calls you. Brothers. Brothers in Christ. Brothers who love one another. Just as Christ loved you. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We stand for prayer.